Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The people that listen to this show famously just take stuff and run. And we are still getting people just texting us one syllable band names.
Look out.
Here's what's come in. Kiss.
Kiss would have been a good guess.
Jim at Wolverine Lake also says Kiss, or as Gator would say, Kiss. Do you?
No, I don't.
I don't know why.
Maybe, like Casey Mize?
No, maybe like two syllables, like key.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah. I get it. Sorry, Jim.
Kiss.
Kiss.
Queen.
Kiss. Yeah.
Bush.
Sure.
Creed.
Who doesn't like Bush? Creed.
Yeah.
If you feel Creed like, always sounded like, you know, guy was trying to get things out in the morning.
Is that right?
Like Ken Holland talking sometimes.
Yeah, he did a lot of that.
That was an era of grunge, though. I felt like a lot of people were doing that.
Right, but Creed wasn't grunge. Creed was more
whatever you want to
like
call
trying to swing it back to the rock side of it. Yeah, but I understand. Yeah, it's like
Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam. Yeah.
Pearl Jam was grunge.
From Nuclear on Twitch, Cher.
Not a band, but yeah.
Cyclonic Vortex, Prince.
Not a band, but you sure?
Yeah. From Greg, Hole and Fish.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of them, Gator.
Of course there are. I wasn't thinking. I was going for the joke. I'm like, come up with a. It was like, pink is what I should have said.
Right.
And I come up with Kesha. Two.
Kag said one syllable band name, and Gator goes, Kesha?
What English class did you go to, man? I was down. Yeah. That was great, Gator. I loved it.
It was funny because I went into Kag and I said, that was really cool. It was the way you set it up. This is during the commercial break. And he said, yeah, it went better than I expected. Way better when Gator said Kesha.
That's right. Man, it's the rock out Rush. Last people rock out Rush. Like I said, they lost their drummer, Neil Peart, a few years ago. But now they decide they're going to tour again. They've got, I think, a female drummer. I went and saw them on their last tour here in Detroit.
Is it the female drummer from... Are you going to go my way video by Lenny Kravitz?
No, I don't think so.
Because she's awesome.
What is that, 25 years ago or something?
Yeah, she showed up in something recently, though. More recent, and I really should know what it is, but I can't remember.
No, I don't think so. But I went to see them at the Palace years ago when they finished. It was their 40th anniversary tour. Bill McAllister had an extra seat. He said, hey, you want to come with me? Floor seats that were amazing, like some VIP section thing that he did. And it was great. And it was my only time seeing Rush, and it was awesome. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a huge Rush fan. I liked Rush, didn't love Rush. And after that, I was like, I kind of love Rush. It was pretty great. Pretty great. As far as Canadian bands go, Doug.
Yep.
You know, Rush is number two for me, behind Triumph, who was in town last Saturday night.
Random. A buddy of mine asked me, is Rush the greatest Canadian band, like a week ago? And I'm like, I don't know.
You said Triumph.
No.
But close.
I said, name another one. Help me out.
Oh.
The female drummer for the Are You Gonna Go My Way video is Cindy Blackman Santana.
Oh.
And she is married to Carlos Santana. And I swear I saw her somewhere else. But
Anika Niles is the, or Annika Niles is the new drummer for Rush.
Okay.
German virtuoso, educator, and composer.
Nice. All right. Kang needs some help.
Rush tickets?
No.
I wish. Triumph.
He is a...
Saturday night, missed it. So did I. Too
expensive. He is playing in a charity golf outing
Oh, that's right.
On Friday. He golfed twice last year.
Twice.
How many times did you play your own ball? Was it, were they both scrambles?
No, my own ball, the nine hole I did. I played my own ball the whole time.
Okay.
That was in Vegas.
Career. His career, I asked him today, how many rounds of golf have you played? And he said single digits, less than 10. I said, what do you shoot? Kang's response was, no. Okay. His question is, before he plays in this charity golf outing Friday, should he hit the range?
Hell yes.
Like, is it even going to matter for me, Gator?
Yes. Yes. I would give you one piece of advice when you go to the range. And that would be just try to take shorter swings to make contact. It's all about making contact. You don't want to be that guy that's up there swinging and swinging and swinging and swinging. The ball is still on the tee. Or the ball is still in the same place where it was. And you've dug up, you know, what a, you know, a shovel would do.
So here's what I would do if I were you. For very similar reasoning, but I'm very specifically, I would go to a mat with a tee and I would just practice tee shots. I would just practice hitting driver. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is you don't want to swing and miss. You want to avoid the whiff at all costs. You want to focus on making contact, which I think you can, but I also think you are a candidate for swing and miss. And you really want to focus on the tee because that is the place on the course where another group can be sitting there watching. That can't happen in the middle of the fairway. That can't happen when you're in a bunker. That can't happen when you're putting. If you swing and miss when you're putting, you got real problems. But the only time where you might have an audience greater than your group, who's in your group, by the way?
A buddy of mine and two other people, I have no idea.
They're going to hate me.
They're fine. We were fine last year.
Oh, so wait, you were fine. You played with them before?
Not the same people, but okay. this event before.
Okay.
It's a charity event?
Yeah.
That's cool. Well,
good for you.
Yeah. What's the charity?
The Poppy Project. It's for people that have experienced infant loss, birth loss, things like that.
That's okay. Awesome. Awesome that they're raising money for that.
Yeah, if you could,
and
if
just
you,
awareness too. Yeah.
Yeah, if you could get us a website, we'll give it some pub where people can donate. But you're, we want to know if anybody else has any advice for Kang. Any advice for someone who rarely golfs, playing at a golf outing? Gator and I have both obviously. God, boy, did we set the bar low. Go to the range so you don't swing and miss.
That's all I need then, right? Just contact? I mean, I should probably swing a club before I get there, right, Gator? Should I even go to YouTube and look at anything to like... I'm not trying to be good, clearly. You know what I mean?
You don't want to embarrass yourself. I understand what it is.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, what's embarrassing myself? I mean, it's not
swinging and missing constantly is embarrassing yourself.
I guess constantly would be the part, right?
Yeah. If you make contact and you slice the ball, but you hit it 175 yards, but it slices, who cares, right? You made contact, go up and drop and hit another one or whatever. But if you're up there and you're just chunking it and it takes you 10 shots get to the green, that's no fun. So that's why I'm saying smaller swings and it just advances the ball. And I'd also say use the woods. Like the iron. I don't care. Yes.
No.
Absolutely. If you're like 150 yards out, don't calculate. Well, I can hit my 3-iron. Just hit a wood because you'll get contact with that ball and it'll at least advance.
And if you actually pure it and fly it into the woods behind the green, so what?
So be it. Yeah. Somebody will say, well, hey, you really got a hold of it. Like, yeah, I did.
And then when you duff it and it goes 90 yards on the ground, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Now, if you're inside 100 yards, it might be a little different, but I think anything outside 120 yards, just don't be afraid to hit like a 5-wood or a 3-wood.
So do you know if you have to, are there rules with the scramble? Do you have to use everybody's drive once?
I do not know the rules.
Okay. Cause that's something else that you want to, if you can make contact with your driver enough, even if you just poke it out there 120 yards, it's a usable drive as opposed to just can't hit the driver at all. And at some point they have to take one of your drives that went out of bounds. Or went 5 feet, Well, phones are blowing up. Joe in Detroit, you're on 97.1. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going today, guys? Tang, honestly, got to ask you some questions about the golf game. Do you have a favorite club in the bag?
Yeah, the hybrid.
Okay. Okay. That's great. That's great. Honestly, if you like the hybrid, I would really just focus on teeing off with that if you're more consistent than with the driver, because you're going to get more conservative distance. And the other thing I would ask is, how much have you practiced your putting within the last week?
As much as Gators practice his syllables.
Right. So you think he should go putt?
Oh, that's smart. That's all about feel, that's smart. Right?
Yeah, putting's all feel.
Yeah, so, I would focus on the feel. And then the other thing I was going to say is you got to know your tempo a little bit. Like, everyone's got a little unique tempo. So if you got that shorter swing with the contact with the hybrid, rock with that. But is it scramble or is it like stroke play?
Scramble,
I believe. Yep.
Oh, okay. Then you're going to be straight, man. If you can just have like one or two good shots, you'll be fine. I mean, you're going to be able to rock with the rest of the group. But honestly, I would hit the range, get that hybrid going, and then practice your putting. Because those are going to be
where can I practice putting?
Shots.
There's a usually putting range. Range. Usually every range. Yeah. 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 Not every range, but almost every range has putting.
I must walk right by those.
Or just inside the house. So you got carpet in the house?
Yeah, I got carpet.
Then just get the putter, drop a couple balls, and just practice hitting, trying to hit it 10 feet, 15 feet.
Ooh, and something else you could do is drink.
Oh, there's that. Yeah, that's encouraged.
248-539-9 for charity. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Is this still in effect? And hence make this good news. I'll explain today at 11:30. 248-539-9797. In the meantime, our guy Kang is playing in a charity golf outing on Friday. He hasn't swung a club in, is it been a full calendar year?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's played less than 10 times, played golf. And we're just looking for any rudimentary get around the course, not embarrass himself advice. It is a scramble, so he will be with a team. And I think the caller's advice that we took on this is already better than the advice we gave him, although I don't think our advice is bad. But Isaac in Royal Oak is next on 97.1. Hello, Isaac.
King, first things first, you will embarrass yourself at some point during this event. So just go ahead and accept that. The best thing you could do is let them know straight up right away, I am terrible. I've only played less than 10 times in my life. I'm here for a charity. They're not going to be there to win it. Also, if you can just have some reasonable awareness on the course. I played in an outing, Gator, with a guy that showed up in cargo shirts, mid-calf, tube socks, New Balances, said he was a great golfer, swung and missed repeatedly, stepped all over the lines when we were trying to putt, wouldn't rake the bunkers, left the flag on the green. By the end of it, he was not my friend.
Yeah, you want that known. I don't know this guy. Yeah, don't be that guy, Kang.
So, Kang, out of everything he said that Isaac said there, and thank you for the phone call, did you understand all the etiquette that he just brought up?
I don't know all the golf etiquette. Okay. I ask, like, you know, you, Evan, all the time about certain questions. Like, oh, I heard this. Is this true? You know, like walking in the line on the rake, all that stuff.
Do you know what that means?
Well, raking the dirt, right?
Yeah, the with sand. The sand. You put it back as best you can.
What is that?
Yeah, you try make it look like
you're covering your footprints in there as you're walking backwards out of the trap. But don't get in a line as somebody's putt, in a scramble, you're all going to be putting from the same spot.
Yes, but
what
so
it means
don't,
is do not walk in the line from where the ball is to the hole, like stepping, you're going to follow your putt and see where it goes. Make sure you just walk around it.
Yeah, don't. The straight line between the ball and the hole, or you just don't walk there, is what that means. And what else they say? Leaving the
flag on the green. Got to put it back, put the pin back in the hole.
Something else to consider, because my Aunt Marcia did this with, She drove the cart into the bunker. You don't do that.
Oh, no. Yeah, don't. How about this? Just don't drive the cart. You don't have to drive the cart. Yeah. The other thing I would say is do not spend an inordinate amount of time looking for a lost ball. Just say, hey, it's gone. It's okay. Yeah. I got another ball.
Yeah,
expedient. Be quick. If you're quick, nobody cares.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to hold things up. I hate that.
No, good call. Dave in Riverview. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Not much, man. If you're talking about hitting the ball, it's kind of like baseball. You got to keep your head down and look at it the whole time, even when it's gone. One other thing, I had a tip in high school when I played golf for the high school team. Put your golf glove under your left arm, and you need to keep that tight. And if you keep that glove under your arm and you hit it, you got to hit the ball first. And even taking a divot doesn't matter because the ball's flying away already.
Just trying to keep your left arm tight to your body is what you're saying.
And then step forward. Transfer your weight to your back step.
That's a lot going on.
And then when you hit it, transfer your weight forward. And if you're looking at the ball, that lets you hit home runs. That lets you hit, like that 300 yard drive. Dude. I'm not very big. I can hit a 300 yard drive.
Yeah. Dave, I'm guessing Kane cannot. But yeah. It's okay.
Is this call why Evan came scrambling in here?
It is, because we're not trying to teach a 4-year-old Tiger Woods how to golf. he just wants to have fun.
I think putting a goal at hitting a 300 yard drive for somebody who's played less than 10 times is a bit lofty.
Can I open the Karsh Casino and say that's not happening?
Yeah, there's no question. I will give Evan heard the topic. Went out. What did you do as soon as you
I
heard
went and got my putter for him. You can hit some putts back here during breaks.
That's awesome. Well done, Ev. Team player. Let's go to Bill in St. Clair Shores. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're okay.
All right. Listen, you hit the nail on the head. Trying to hit a 300-yard drive is a little bit of a tall order.
Most important thing
you can do to make sure you contact the ball on your backswing. Don't take your arms more than level with your shoulders.
So
you can't possibly miss the ball.
Shorten the backswing.
What happens is you take your backswing and you turn your whole body like you would as if you were playing golf regularly. You pull your eyes off the ball. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you don't, in effect, don't turn your body or slightly turn your body, you're going to hit the back of the ball by accident, if nothing else.
I think that's actually really good advice, Bill. And Gator, you agree, right? Shorten the backswing.
That's what I said. I said take shorter swings and you just concentrate on making the contact, and your misses won't be as bad.
To the previous caller said, put your golf glove and just shift your weight and all that. He did say something that's very true, is keep your eyes on the ball even after it's gone. One of the things that I concentrate on is seeing an empty divot. Like I hit the ball, there's where it was. I make sure that
keep your head down.
Mostly with short irons and chipping is when I really focus on that, and it helped me. But yes, I think his point is you want to see where the ball was. That's keeping your head down.
I mean, basically everyone's like, hit the ball.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because you don't want to just sit there, like you guys said, keep swinging, holding everything up. Like, it sounds like I probably should hit the range.
I think so. That's going to be good advice.
What works for me,
We'll take a couple more on this. Dale in Plymouth. What's up, Dale?
Hi, how are you? Hey, you guys are great. I love it.
Thank you.
Listen, I can't tell you how much fun you're going to have. I'll just give you two little tips. I agree with the thing about putting. Where you can normally contribute, even if you're a novice, is putting. And the second is, don't talk while somebody else is hitting.
Great call. Yes.
It's a fun environment, but when you people are a little sensitive about that, the rest is just fun. Have a great time.
That Dale, great. I'm glad you mentioned that one. Did you know that one?
Yeah, I tried. I knew that.
Don't talk at someone's backswing.
Yeah.
Now,
I learned that from something about Mary.
it's quite possible that someone in your group is going to be playing music. That's different.
That's okay.
That's fine.
It's a vibes thing.
Yeah. because you know what the music, you know what's coming. But when somebody starts talking in the middle of your swing, what are you doing? Shut up.
Should we play Rush?
I'm not against it.
Let's go to Adam in Ann Arbor, or Kesha. Sorry, Adam in Ann Arbor. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys, I had a couple of tips. Something came up already, which was shorten your backswing, which is probably the easiest way to make contact with the ball. And then the other thing is right, for me at least, images help more than words. And so the image that I have used is, right, like you're an animal on a carousel, right? There is a brass pole that goes through the top of your head and out your ass. Turn on that pole, but don't go side to side.
Okay, so like on a merry-go-round or the...
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, it...
Yeah. Then you're just, you know, then you're solid.
Rotate around your spine.
Right.
Thank you. Kang, is this helping or is there too much on the plate? Are you?
Do I need a catchphrase when I strike the ball? Should I, you know, start something?
For temple
it's
purposes?
It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. Okay. No, just for having a catchphrase.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's read a couple of these texts and then we'll move on. I also golf very rarely. Make contact on the first hole, tee off. It will be smooth from there on no matter what happens. And even if you don't, who cares? It's a freaking game. Next text. I am a beginning golfer. Tell Kang to stick with his 7-iron. It's the easiest way to make contact with Gator Sit. It's the easiest way to make contact. Gator said woods. Do not use woods. All it's going to be do is just dribble. Line drives with a 7-iron or a 9, and you'll get some air. It'll look decent. Just won't go as far.
You said your best club is your hybrid. I'd use the hybrid all the time.
Putters are heroes on scrambles. That's from an unnamed texter. Gary from Romulus says, Kang, swing like you're inside a phone booth or a refrigerator and keep your left arm straight all the way back and through impact.
When do I yell out mashed potatoes?
Never.
My advice, swear and occasionally throw a club after a bad shot. People will think you're really good, but having a bad day.
I'm never this bad, guys.
I do not agree with said advice. All right, does this still apply, and does it make it good news for Detroit? We will get to that today at 11:32 on Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
All right, Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines 248-539-9797. Madden cover. See the Madden covers out?
Yeah.
Do you believe in the Madden curse still? Is this a real thing?
I don't know what the... what.
We should get Evan in here for this. Doesn't Evan, get in here, buddy. I want to get your 2 cents on this.
Because this used to be a real thing.
There's no question. And I don't even believe in this stuff. But I most not don't believe in this.
Huh?
Even with all the evidence we've had in the past, like straight facts?
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. What is it now? Because I know that like 10 years ago, you could say, wow, it was felt like 2 out of 3 years somebody was going down with the Madden Jinx injury.
I feel like the Madden Jinx, and it was also lack of production. Like, I feel like the Madden Jinx was almost formulaic. And what I mean by that is they would try and find the biggest riser that suddenly jumped into the fore and became a household name and then reverted to what they were. Now, there was injuries. That was definitely a deal. And the reason we bring it up is because Caleb Williams, quarterback, Chicago Bears, is on the Madden cover. So is this a real thing? Do you still actually believe in the Madden Jinx?
I want to.
Yeah.
I love the idea of the jinx when it affects another team. And Lord knows the Lions have had enough injury issues over the last three seasons. I don't want to see those anymore. So if it happens to another team, yeah. Look, the injuries always happen. I mean, last year was insane how many injuries, not just the Lions, but all throughout the league. Oh, getting major players going down with injuries. And you know, that's just where we're at. You throw another game on the schedule and it's another opportunity for guys to get hurt.
Who was on the cover last year?
Saquon Barkley.
Get him and down
his,
here.
His numbers dipped.
Yeah, well, because he had just come off a 2,000-yard year and they put him on the cover. I think he rushed for like 1,100 yards last year, which is not like a terrible year, but definitely down for what he was expected to do.
So is he considered another victim by definition?
It's not as strong as it used to be. Like there used to be like season-ending injuries or just not even making the playoffs, you know, those type of that's the effect it had. But Eagles didn't have the best year last year. And well, Saquon
went from, you said, the 2,000-yard season. He averaged 5.8 yards a carry that year with 13 touchdowns. Last year, played the same amount of games, 16, had 1,100 yards, a 4.1 yards per carry, and 7 touchdowns. So almost cut in half his production in terms of yards and touchdowns, and his yards per carry dropped almost two full yards. That's huge.
Yeah, and like people that play fantasy football like myself still, like they felt the effect. So they thought the curse was real because he was, you know, was a highly drafted player and he just did not come through with the stats, and you just read him off, Gator.
I got a text from Evan. He's on a corporate call. I can't come in. I did find a story here. So about Saquon in 26, 25, it was Christian McCaffrey. He struggled with injuries.
He was on the cover in 25?
Yes, which meant for the 24 season, because you know how the numbers
right,
were.
Right, right. So the 20...
The result is McCaffrey struggled with injuries. The 49er star played just 4 games and was placed on injured reserve twice.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Madden 24, Josh Allen. Allen's season, also featured on the cover, proved to be something of a mixed bag. The Buffalo Bills signal caller combined for 44 touchdowns on the ground and through the air. However, he threw a career-high 18 interceptions. Madden 22 cover, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, the two stars sharing the cover, each enjoyed strong seasons. Now, Brady, you know.
Oh, boy.
The 21 cover was Lamar Jackson. Jackson didn't reach the same heights as his 2019 campaign that earned him the first league MVP honors, but the Baltimore Ravens still had an impressive campaign. Patrick Mahomes in 2020. Mahomes' first nod on the game cover proves to be a wise choice. He followed up his 2018 MVP campaign season with another strong season. Well, it's Caleb Williams. If given the choice, if somebody called you up and said, and I am in serious, I'm serious, we're going to put a lion on the cover unless you say no, what would you say?
Nope.
Okay, and given a choice, would you tell them seriously say no?
Man, I would. I do believe in the jinx, but it'd be pretty damn sweet to see Jahmyr Gibbs on the cover of Madden. You know, because I'm also a video game, like it was a video game guy. But I'd probably
Gator's pained with this answer.
Don't you put that on him?
Okay, I would to be safe. I would say no. But I mean, I know players love it though. They would say yes right away.
Well, the last lion on there broke the curse.
Was it Barry or Calvin?
Oh, Calvin. I guess Barry was on there beforehand.
The thank you, Bobby. The
did Calvin retire after that?
Yeah, he was on the cover of the 2013 Madden. So what did he do?
Well, I can look it back.
He broke Jerry Rice's single season receiving yards.
The story doesn't go back that far for some reason.
So the 2013 regular season. How did he play?
Yeah.
He was third in the NFL in receiving yards. He played 14 games, so he's hurt a couple games.
Okay. And what would they have done if they had Myles Garrett on the cover?
Oh, change it up?
Yeah, Photoshop AI.
I mean, I guess in this day and age, everybody downloads games all the time anyway, so it's not like it really matters. I can just change the image. Does it apply to college football?
I don't think
it does. Because those covers have been released as well.
Well, they've only been doing that for a couple of years, though, right? Because that was the whole NIL thing. That
was that Ed O'Bannon case, yeah. Which might have sparked this entire world. Ed O'Bannon might have started the ball rolling downhill on this whole thing. Because there's two covers.
I always
like
his brother better.
Charles O'Bannon? The O'Bannon Brothers, UCLA? There's a standard edition in college, and there's a deluxe edition in college. The standard edition on the cover.
Got to get you twice.
Is Miami of Florida wide receiver Malachi Toney, Oregon quarterback Dante Moore, and Ole Miss running back Kewan Lacy. The deluxe edition has a bunch of players, but front and center, Kurt Cignetti.
Interesting.
I will say this. I would take the field against Indiana this year. So would that apply? Is it a Madden cover jinx if Indiana doesn't win the national championship, or is that just...
No.
Do they have to have a disastrous season?
If they don't make the playoff, I mean, what are they going to have? 72 teams make the playoff this year?
No, this year it's still 12.
Oh.
Yep. They're waiting a couple of years before they completely ruin it.
Yeah. Would you be able to say if they don't make the playoff this year that would be the jinx coming through for a team that's made it the last 2 years?
It's a good question. I feel like any downturn whatsoever is interpreted as being the jinx. You know, he did miss two games with a pinky. Like anything that goes wrong, they say it's the jinx. But there's nobody talks about the college football jinx, right?
No.
It hasn't been one to worry about for forever.
The game, you mean? There hasn't been a college football cover. They just started doing that again. All right, well, it's Caleb Williams. The guy that'll have to deal with the jinx.
Are you looking at the cover right now?
No. I got the college cover up, but I can go back.
Pull up the Caleb Williams Madden one.
Okay.
How about that Hammond, Indiana skyline? Looking nice.
They've kind of oversold Hammond. They really have.
Sweet cover, though. He's got like the Jordan pose going.
It kind of does.
Right?
Yep.
With the Hammond, Indiana in the back.
He's leaping in the air. Yeah, the buildings. Actually,
it doesn't look like Hammond.
No, you know what? It's clearly Chicago. The problem is it's Chicago close up. You should just barely be able to see Chicago way off in the distance. That's what it should be. But yes, it's Caleb Williams in the air with his legs spread apart like Michael Jordan throwing a football. But listen, Chicago's way too close. It should be way in the distance.
Kang, as a collector, you understand this. I'm going to buy as many of these as I can because it's a mistake. Because clearly this is not Hammond, right? It's a mistake. They accidentally put Chicago in the background.
A mistake.
Actually, that's all. The curse is already there. Chicago's in the background. And they're going to Hammond.
Actually, Chicago is getting cursed, isn't it? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Bravo.
Way to
workshop this, Scott. Dude, they might seriously end up in Hammond. Do you see they adjourned without voting?
Right.
And
like, well, what do we do now?
And I think the Bears are like, I'm going to Yemen.
The Bears are like, seriously? Nobody's going to pay? Ernie Heights, you can't kick in a little more money? How about Chicago, City of Chicago? Are not going to kick in more money?
Their new address.
No, you guys are billionaires. Foot the bill.
248-539-9797. All right, somebody is very chesty.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
About Detroit, and I mean chesty. We will get to that today at 11:48 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Let's go to Ethan on a cell. You're next on 97.1. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. A quick word on the college football video game cover curse.
Yep.
So nowadays they put too many people on it for it to matter. But if you go back to the old NCAA video games,
yep,
the curse was that player was going to have a terrible NFL career.
Oh, really?
He had you had RG3, you had Vince Young, Troy Smith, Denard.
I was going to say Denard was on there, right?
Jared Zabransky. You can go down the list. I mean, I don't know all of them off the top of my head, and I'm driving, but I would say that would be the curse.
Interesting. Okay. Well, it's good to know. Good. And the Madden cover jinx survives today, no matter what happens with Caleb Williams' season, with the Bears likely to end up in Hammond and the city of Chicago making the cover in the background. It's perfect. In fact, if you believe in the cover jinx, signed, sealed, and delivered to Hammond are the Chicago Bears.
Hysterical.
Well, they've got the deal on the table.
All right, so, boy, we figured out the formula. Everybody does 100 days and 100 thoughts or 100 predictions when you're 100 days away from the NFL season. ESPN did him yesterday, and so did Sports Illustrated, and Sports Illustrated writer Connor Orr in particular. And my guy is chesty about the Detroit Lions. Prediction number 8, the Lions will win the NFC North. I want your take on this. He writes, one of the most underrated aspects of a team's schedule, in my opinion, is the runway with which to build momentum. That momentum overpowers the basic fact that many of those wins were against opponents that that team should have beaten. Those wins create a false confidence that those teams carry with them into more neutral matchups or matchups in which they should be considered an underdog. I love the beginning of the Lions slate. Even if Detroit has all of its road divisional games over the final few weeks of the season, my thought, if the Lions can bank 4 wins from their season opening stretch against the Saints, Bills, Jets, Panthers, and Cardinals, they will be in a much better position to lose ground later in the season in Chicago or Green Bay. Okay, so he believes in the schedule, which I always think is a dicey thing to believe in.
Yeah, it's very dicey.
Prediction number 17, the Lions will lead the NFL in regular season wins. More accolades for the Lions, who have one of the more favorable one of my favorite stats from the 2025 season. Despite finishing last in the NFC North and undergoing a midseason offensive coordinator change, the Lions had a plus 68 point differential that was better than 7 teams that made the playoffs.
They lost to the Vikings twice last year, and Max Brosmer was the quarterback on one of those teams.
Yeah,
on Christmas Day.
And number 94, the NFL total points leader in 2026 will be the Lions, who are admittedly a big winner in this year's 100 bowl predictions. Detroit had an abysmal schedule and a coordinator who needed to be replaced midstream, yet they still scored just 2 fewer points per game than the Rams and total roughly 400 fewer yards. The indicators are there. So he's expecting a dominant offense, a quick start, and a ton of wins this year. Chesty. Well,
I think they can get off to a great start. And yes, we all play the schedule game, but it's
at our own peril.
Yeah, at our own peril. I mean, the factual part is that the Lions, based on numbers from last year, have an easier schedule, a much easier schedule, and certainly easier than they did the previous year. That's just based on those numbers. Now, what it doesn't take into account is what teams have done in the offseason. But that being said, I do think they get off to a good start. I do think they have potential for an explosive offense, but I also think there's going to be some growing pains that come with it. But if they can stay healthy by the end of the season, the offense should be really good. I'm not a big proponent of momentum when it comes to football. And it's because you've got a week between games. So I don't buy it too often when it comes to that. I'm not all Gary Danielson on this where he doesn't believe in momentum at all, but I think there is something to it when it comes to football that it's harder to say it exists when you don't play for 6 days. But I think you can feel good about yourselves. There's that.
I always find it interesting when independent voices, because you know, when I think you can get too close to it in a town where you either become a bit of a homer, which at times I think everybody's susceptible to, or all you see is the flaws and you just see it for to be doom, which has been a rewarding place to be if you've been a Detroit Lion fan, because something always seems to bring them down no matter how good or bad they are. And historically, usually they're just pretty bad, but I always find it interesting when an independent national source has strong beliefs about one of our teams. And I'll give you an example. I always seek out a lot of independent voices. One thing, like I was like, okay, let me go look and see if I could find any national writer that wrote the following. Myles Garrett traded to Rams. What the hell are the Lions doing? Like, nobody wrote that story. It led to a lot of what the hell are the Lions doing? Why won't they do something like this? Talking Detroit. But it's not like a national storyline. And that's where I think we're so close to it that we, you know, are kind of harsh sometimes on our teams. Now, maybe not us in particular, but fans can be. And yesterday we tried to get the message across, hey, there's more than one way to get to the top. Yes, all-in moves can get you there. And it did for the Rams, but it didn't really jumpstart Seattle last year, for instance, who won the Super Bowl. But I digress. This is an independent voice. It's very chesty about the Lions. And, you know, I'm should we be, not that it matters if we are, should we match this confidence? Lead the regular season, most wins in the NFL, which means they'll be a one seed again. And they'll have the most points in the NFL in a league where I truly believe offense wins championships. I know people haven't always bought into that, and I kind of cited the data about it's a greater predictor of postseason bids and success is to have a great offense, a greater predictor. I mean, it's not like it happens 100% of the time. Philly, I think, rode their defense mostly that title a couple of years ago, but over the last probably 7-8 years, it's been more of an offensive-driven league.
Yeah, I think everything is kind of cyclical. Again, no hard and fast rules with anything like that. But I'm encouraged by the Lions as they stand right now. We'll wait and see the health of certain players, how long guys may or may not be out. You know, if Sam LaPorta is going to hit the ground running and be a full participant in training camp and not going to miss any time, I'll feel a lot better about the offense. If Brian Branch is somehow able to play in the first handful of games and would be 100%, and there's not much of, you know, of time to have learning curve or ramping back up for coming back from the Achilles injury, I'll feel great about the defense. But those are questions that have to be asked and answered before I'm going to say here on June 3rd, yep, this team's the best team in the conference. They're going to win the most. I don't think this team is. I don't think they will win the most games. I don't think they're going to score the most points. I would expect that to probably go to the Rams. I mean, right now, the Rams, that's the hot team to go and say they're going to do what they're going to do. Because of the additions, or the addition to the defense with Myles Garrett, and now there's thought that maybe they get Aaron Donald to unretire and play another season, that he's intrigued by, that he wants to, but he's not sure just yet, but he's like, that's intriguing. I mean, but those are defensive things. And then maybe it shifts back to, you know what, defense can win. If they end up having this great defense, which they very well could.
You got to build your team over what you can get, right? You can't, if you're in the draft, there's a great defensive player there, take him, right? And if you take the great players. If you have a great defensive free agent, you sign him. I'm not saying don't try to build your defense. And when you have a great defense, you're like, oh, hell with it. Let's try and win with our defense. And there's nothing wrong with that. If given my choice in 2026, I would love to have a great offense over a great defense. And the Lions will have a great offense. They will, if the O-line takes a step up. And yeah, they've made a lot of changes there. There's, you know, a lot of logic behind the changes they made. Feels like there's an upgrade at center. Feels like one of the guards is going to get better. There's two resources, a veteran who started games at what the Lions believe is his best position, right tackle, that's been brought in, and a high draft pick that's been put in a right tackle. Penei Sewell can now be the most dominant player, perhaps at the most important position on the offensive line. And there's a bunch of candidates at left guard. So if that group is dominant up front, I think the Lions will be in the mix for most points in the league and hence have a great chance to win it all, because they will have, by definition, one of the best offenses in the NFL.
Yeah, they could. And I think one of the players to look at and see how they're going to fit in is Pacheco. If Isaiah Pacheco ends up being
interesting player,
pretty good for this team, then we forget about David Montgomery.
Latest Scuba reporting straight ahead here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.